in Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3, in the last part of the verse, verse 10. Malachi 3, the last part of verse 10. Prove me now, herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven, and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough. Let our brethren know that we're appreciative of your generosity and your kindness to us, being able to meet our expenses another year, and support. Maybe we could read a couple of other verses in connection with this open meeting. 1 Corinthians chapter 14.
I'd like to speak a little bit on the word comfort, perhaps in a different way than you might first think. But John chapter 13, to start. John 13. In verse 4, he riseth from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. After that he poureth water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. I'd like to read also just the first part of verse 2 and supper being ended. The Lord had a lot of things that he wanted to communicate to his own. But he brings them into a place before he opens up his heart to them and communicates those things they would need in his absence. He makes them comfortable. He fed them. And when supper was ended, then he washed their feet. And, you know, when your feet are dirty and tired or sore, if you've been on a hike, it's just so comfortable to have them washed and refreshed in the water. The Lord made them comfortable. He refreshed them. You might say it's hard to hear something, if your stomach's rumbling, you're thinking about eating, you know. Lord just settled all of that. And then a little picture here, he removes every distraction that he might be able to communicate to them his mind. And so we can say, I think from this scripture, that the Lord wants us to be comfortable. In the sense that he wants all distractions removed so that he can tell us what's on his heart. And in the action of feet washing, we know the picture well. The application of the water of the Word to our hearts to wash away those things that we might pick up as we go through this scene that would defile us, that would hinder communion with the Lord, with our God and Father. And so he wants to take those things out of the way. He wants us to be comfortable. When we're traveling and we're looking for a hotel, I have to admit, probably one of the biggest things on my mind is I'm hoping to get a very comfortable bed. And there's something so nice, probably if there's any area of life where I want to be comfortable, it's when I climb into bed in order to get a good night's rest. I think of that often as pray at night before getting into bed, and then done with praying, and you climb into that bed, and we're climbing into luxury that most of the world has never known, all down through human history. Get in those clean sheets and mattress and the pillow, and it's wonderful. And there's a verse, and I can't put my finger on it right now, but Brother Little used to love it. He spent a lot of time in hospital beds. He maketh my bed in all the sickness, in all my sickness. And he said there's nothing so comfortable as when you're ill as somebody moving you to a chair in the hospital on the side of the bed, making that bed up fresh, and then putting you back in it. I don't think there's any doubt that the Lord desires us to be comfortable. That's his heart towards us. And how richly he provides in so many things, naturally speaking, to meet us in those. But the question that I want to raise is, should our comfort be that which is the principle upon which we make the decisions in our life? Turn back to Song of Solomon. We've been raised from the time we were, before we can remember, to coddle ourselves, if I can so say. I know that's how it is with me. To protect ourselves, to insulate ourselves from any thing uncomfortable. How we've been all our lives, I would say, for most of us. I know there's some here that's not perhaps been the story of their lives because of illness or whatever it might be. I have to say that's how it's been for me. The Song of Solomon 5, we have someone here who's comfortable. Verse 2, I sleep, but my heart waketh. It is the voice of my beloved that knocketh, saying, open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled. For my head is filled with dew, and my locks with the drops of the night. And now her answer, I have put off my coat. How shall I put it on? I have washed my feet. How shall I defile them? My beloved put his hand by the hole of the door, and my bowels were moved for him. I rose up to open to my beloved. My hands dropped with myrrh, and my fingers with sweet-smelling myrrh upon the handles of the lock. I opened to my beloved, but my beloved had withdrawn himself and was gone. So here she is in bed. She's washed her feet. She's relaxed, sleeping. But her heart wasn't. Her heart waketh. Just put it this way, you know, we can be, say, well, you know, it's well with me. I have peace with God. I'm saved. Gather to the Lord's name. So thankful the Lord gathered me to his name. I'm not walking in a defiled way. My feet are clean. But I can't get out of bed and answer the door. Because the ruling principle is my comfort. And so I can't be bothered to respond. And her beloved knocks. I've washed my feet. How shall I defile? She doesn't, you know, it's if you're in bed, especially up here in the cottages, and it's all warm, and those cottages are kind of cold, and you got a lot of blankets on, time to get up in the morning. You don't like to put your feet out on that cold floor. If you could, just stay in bed a little longer, you know. It's not comfortable. Put your feet out on that floor. My parents used to have a big fleece, sheepskin, either side of their bed, so when they put their feet, it was on that sheepskin. They didn't have to hit the cold floor. Well, she didn't want her feet on that cold floor. She didn't want to lose her comfort. You know, recently among us here, and maybe everywhere, but I think particularly in some of the meetings here in the North, East. There's been a lot of discussion on Christian deportment as we go through this world. When I open that closet in the morning or going to meeting to remember the Lord, I pull that dresser drawer open. What's the governing principle on which I reach into that closet and pull something out, or that drawer and pull something out that I'm going to put on and wear to meeting? Is it my comfort? Is that what's governing me? Is that the principle that's guiding my choices in this life? A solemn question, because we've grown up to just do everything with that in mind, to make our choices all around ourselves. And we're like this one in her bed. Oh, just can't leave my comfort. Doesn't the Lord want me to be comfortable? I think we've looked at that. He wants us to be comfortable. But that's the Lord's desire, to have me comfortable, is different than my desire to be comfortable, to be the ruling principle in my choices in life. That's a totally different thing. So we can reach into that closet and we can pull out things that I'm comfortable in. rather than reaching in to pull out those things that would honor Him, that would be respectful of the one into whose presence we are going. Some years back, when George Bush was in the White House, I was quite struck with an account. There was an American women's, it was a badminton team. It did quite well. I don't know if it was Olympics or what, but George Bush wanted to celebrate their win, and he invited them to the White House. And they came. But it made quite a splash in the newspapers, other news media, that those young ladies all showed up at the White House dressed in a way that was very unbecoming to the one who invited them there. They had their flip-flops on and, you know, just very comfortable. Very comfortable. But they dishonored the President of the United States. And so there was a bit of a debate going on about whether they were wrong or right and so on. And one particular news organization interviewed a young lady who worked in the offices of the White House. And she gave this account. She came in off hours to the White House offices to catch up on some work. And she came dressed. It was off hours. No one was around, very casually, and got to her desk, and she was doing her work, and a messenger came through. The President is going to be walking through the White House offices. He wasn't stopping at the office. He wasn't visiting anybody in that office. He was just walking through, because that was the path to get to where he was going in the White House. And because of security, they would, every path that the President takes is carefully considered, and security is involved. So she heard, President's coming through. She said, I immediately left the White House. I went to the nearest store. I bought a dress. I bought closed-toed shoes and got changed. I went back and I got in my seat just a few minutes before the President came through. He didn't stop to talk to her. It wasn't the point. She wanted to dress in a way that was becoming to the man and his office that was walking down that aisle. So she didn't appreciate the way that badminton team had shown up and the way that they had dressed themselves for that occasion. It's not comfortable to be odd, is it? It's not comfortable to have others look at us, make comments that were odd or were strange or those kinds of things. Maybe it's not comfortable to have a tie around your neck that way. But there is a deportment that's honorable to the one who, in whose presence we are, in whom we represent in this world. Is what we wear a testimony to our Lord Jesus Christ in this world? Absolutely it is. Absolutely it is. Not only that, we find in 2 Timothy, or 1 Timothy, let's just turn there for a moment. that there is a particular testimony that the man and the woman bear in this world. God has put us each in our place in creation, and as His creatures in creation, each of us occupying the place that He has given us, we each have a peculiar testimony that we render to Him. And 2 Timothy 2 gives us that testimony. Verse 8, I will, therefore, that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. 1 Timothy 2, I'm sorry. Thank you, brother. 1 Timothy 2 and verse 7, or verse 8, I will, therefore, that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. There's the man's place. His place is more a public forward representation or witness for the Lord in what he has to say, an expression of his dependence upon God. Brother Floyd back home, your brother, said, I love to give thanks at the table when I go out to a restaurant to eat. I've met so many other believers. It's a public testimony. I will that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands. It's a testimony to the Lord. Because men in this world are independent from God, and so to see a man who is openly confessing his dependence upon God, not only in his words but in his ways, is foreign to this world, and it's a witness to our God and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. The woman's place is given next. In like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. A woman's place and testimony is much more in what she wears than in what she says. The man's is more in what he says, not as much emphasis on what he wears. Although we find in 1 Corinthians 11 that if he seeks to represent the Lord with a covered head, he dishonors his head. Oh, how many believers I see, brothers, praying publicly. What a nice confession of dependence, but with their hat firmly on their heads, dishonoring their head all the while. Oh, I think in ignorance. So often, not willfully, but in ignorance. But there it is. Yes, there is for each of us a testimony we bear in what we wear and in what we say. But the stronger emphasis on what is said is with the men. The stronger emphasis on what is worn is with the sisters. In Psalm 19, if we could turn back there, we get two testimonies that God has rendered to this world. Psalm 19. The first one is in verse 1. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. That's the first testimony in creation. It's a silent testimony. But it speaks in a language that reaches every corner of the globe. There isn't a place that it doesn't bear witness to God. What's the next testimony? Verse 7. The law of the Lord, the word of God. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making the wise simple, and so on. You have creation, and you have the word. And in them, I think, are pictured the peculiar testimonies that are borne by the man and the woman in this world. Hers is a silent one. It's not in words. But it's seen by the world. And it speaks in a language that transcends the Tower of Babel. It does not need an interpreter. It reaches every corner of the globe. And that's her godly deportment. What she wears. The next one is the Word itself, converting the soul. That's the man's, more the man's testimony in public utterance and communication of the Word of God in this world. Each has their place. Each is so necessary. You know, I've said this enough that my children are probably cringe. I already are. You go into a Walmart, somewhere out in public, and you see a Christian family, and you say, I wonder if they're Christians. Have you ever done that? Yeah, haven't you? I wonder if they're Christians. You know, I pretty well can tell you, you probably said that because of how the woman was dressed or the girls were dressed in that family. That's probably why you said that. Doesn't matter what language you speak, it conveys a testimony. Oh, thank your sisters to give up that testimony. To walk away from it. I'm not comfortable. And the Lord wants me to be comfortable. Doesn't He? Yes. But that shouldn't be the governing principle in those choices I make. All this one in Song of Solomon that didn't want to get out of her bed. What did she see? She saw her beloved's hand by the hole of the door. She got a glimpse of his hand. You know what the hands speak of? They speak of service of love. You know, woman's hands are mentioned in Scripture in that way. The service of love. So were the Savior's hands. He came to serve. He didn't come for His own comfort. She got a glimpse of that hand. That's what we need. A glimpse of that hand pierced for us. Oh, if I could speak in the language, ways of expression today, and I don't mean this in a disrespectful way. Think of that pierced hand. Can I say, how comfortable was that? Get a glimpse of that one who gave himself for us at the cost of every comfort. That's what got her out of that bed, you know. She found he was gone. She'd gotten a lot further away from him than she'd realized before she woke up. But it got her on the right path. Luke, just one more verse to finish. Chapter 9. I think that's the chapter I want. Chapter 9. So we think of, again, the comfort of a comfortable bed. Verse 58. Or verse 57. It came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. Do you want to follow him? Do I want to follow him? How can my comfort then be the governing principle of my life? To follow the man who had not where to lay his head.